This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never had an Igor call here, and so my antennas are up. Joel, you took this call. Igor in Indiana, is this correct?
And that's the first time I've ever screened a call from someone named Igor as well.
And you think it's legit? You put it on.
I don't know. Here, so. I'm 50-50 on it.
Well,
I'm
let's 50-50. Find out. Igor in Indiana, how are you today? You're such a jagoff. You know, you really are.
Come on, Bob. Igor?
Well,
at least Jolie, I'm glad Jolie's not a bouncer. Everybody would get into any bar they wanted.
As it turns out, Bob, Jolie might have been playing chess when we're all playing checkers. He knew. He has a receipt from the call line.
He had to know.
It says Igor in Indiana with my name in parentheses. He knew, I think.
Yeah, he was fishing me. You know, one of those things you see on social media sometimes, fishing. I was being fished.
Well, wait a second. Wait a second, Limits. Does Jolie really have a receipt? Because if it said, Bob, are you looking at a call screen during your show?
Sometimes I'm not.
Were you at that particular time?
I believe I was.
So you didn't see my name in parentheses?
I just saw Igor, and I probably blanked out.
I think Jolie put that on there later to indicate that he knew when he didn't. Because yeah. I called in like this. He said, hello, fan. I said,
yeah, this is Igor.
He said,
if you're talking like that, then I think he probably would know automatically.
He was playing along. He knows, and it, you know, that's fine. You got your jollies off. That's good.
No, Bob, you discovered me before it happened. You knew Igor in Indiana wasn't real.
Well, I had a feeling. That's why I said my antennas are up. But
I mean, it's been a while.
But I all due respect to Igor.
And you insulted me on top of that.
Just like, what was the one you called as a fake? Your wife had called in.
Fanny and Butler.
Fanny. I've never had a Fanny. Now I've had a Fanny and an Igor call. Fanny and Butler is joining us right now. What's up, Fanny?
Oh, Bob. Oh, I can't take it anymore.
Come on, Austin. You're too quick with this stuff. You have it loaded too much. You guys have rehearsed this.
Oh. Way too often.
Don't give me the wooden teeth. Whatever you do, please don't give me the wooden teeth.
You know you just asked for it. You just asked for it. Bob, it's wonderful to see you today.
Good to see you.
Hannistown.
Hannistown, very good golf course.
I love that place.
Greensboro or Westmoreland County, actually.
Yeah.
They have a great Italian Open every year where they bring out all this great food and wine and you play, and it's just a wonderful social experience.
I did great on the first two holes there, and then whatever one is the one where there's a little, it might be three or four.
A little par three.
No, I did. I was doing great on that. What's that? Two or three?
It's one of the early holes. Yeah. Sure.
I was at par through two or three, and then there's one with a little lake to the left, a little creek to the left, I should say. So of course I'm thinking, do anything but put it in the creek, and that's like saying, don't think of a pink elephant, right?
You can't think about it.
And it went to the creek. Yeah. I lost my mind. I was slamming my club, and that's one thing I'm working on this year, Bob, is my attitude going in. I think I can save a shot or two per round if I don't break any clubs.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, you have to understand this is a game not to be made perfect, and you're not going to be perfect at it. So minimize mistakes. That's it. But have fun. Free. Swing free.
Swing free. Bob, we have stories left and right today. Like, I don't even know where to start, although it became a lot clearer when I saw a report from Albert Breer. But before we get to that, the Mike Lang tribute on Saturday. I was actually on a field trip with my friend Limits here to a playoff basketball game out at North Allegheny. We were bonding, Bob, talking behind your back only minimally.
Fine. Trying to plot the next Fanny or Igor.
Joe told the ticket person that I was his son.
And he played along and he said, thanks, Dad, taking me to the game.
I think that's, you know, you do look like his son.
It was wonderful. It was a wonderful bonding experience. But we were listening to the Mike Lang tribute. Were you there?
No, I wasn't there, unfortunately. But
what
I was watching
it
also.
Yeah.
I thought, like everything the Penguins do when it comes to that kind of stuff, it's really good. All the people who were there who worked with Mike were on the ice. The family, just everything about it. The goal calls, you know, I mean, that's a guy who won't be duplicated ever again, you know, and he had a way of making things. I thought it was a great atmosphere, and I think those who showed up really got emotional. I've talked to a couple of friends of mine who were there, said it was really emotional to go through it.
I've just been blown away by the level of and nature of the tributes for him. I saw Sean McDonough during the game Saturday. I didn't see him. I was watching him pay tribute to Mike on Sid's goal, scratch my back with a hacksaw, which was great. And so many people that I've talked to and that I've heard talk about Mike Lang, I really think that he would have loved so much of what's been written and said about him and the ceremony itself. During the pandemic, I remember, you know, searching for stories, what to write about. I decided, you know, I'm going to call Mike and try to get him to tell me his five greatest moments, five most impactful moments as a Penguins announcer in all those years. And one of the five was the Badger Bob tribute a day after he passed with the electric candles or whatever they were that they handed out. And this, from the gist of it, I wasn't there, but from watching, listening, experiencing it, it seemed like just as moving a tribute.
Yeah, except for candles, you use your flashlight, and everybody put their flashlight on their cell phones, and it made for a very nice kind of atmosphere for that tribute. So, yeah, I thought it was great. And I remember the Badger Bob thing. I was there for that one, and that was just sad. I mean, only because, you know, every time you lose someone, it's sad. But when you lose someone before it's time because of a cancer and something quick that comes out of nowhere, it seemed like that his situation, it's really sad at that point. But they did a really good job, and I expect them to do it all the time when there's something like that. So
me too. They do an amazing job of that. And just seriously, everything that I read, heard for those days, the PM guys, you did a great show Friday that I heard some of the PM guys just in the morning, like the whole station, it was great. And I still can't believe that we had those clips from Mike Lang. Like, there was a little lapse in his contract back in 2014, and we had all those amazing clips from him appearing with Mulsey and I at a car dealership.
That one where he talked about mistakenly identifying a dead man when he wasn't dead.
Yes. I mean, amazing.
I didn't know that story, and that was very interesting to hear him tell. But good thing that the man who was sitting there watching his own obituary was like laughing about it.
Yes. Well, with the Badger thing, Mikey said at the end of our interview, he said, I'm not an emotional guy, but I got very emotional that day. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's something that will never leave me. And it felt like it had a really similar vibe.
I'm glad it was still in the archives here. It's hard to find stuff to go back a few years, you know. It really is.
Oh, you can ask him. A lot of our best stuff we can't find because of internal, virtual house fires and things like that.
Exactly. And in our business in television out of KDKA, there's so much video, but you have to know where to look for it to find it. And sometimes it takes a long time. You know, today, with all the digital capabilities, you can do things a lot easier.
Yeah.
Chronicle them. Back then, there was none of this. So you had to log it, you know, with your own handwriting, try to figure out where to put it. And it's hard to find everything. So
I mean, this was on an old CBS website, and somebody, like, logged it in according to topic, the clips from Mike Lang. Was it hard to transfer limits?
Not really, no. Whoever inserted it then years ago, 10 years ago now, did a pretty good job of me just being able to pull it, re-record it again, and we were able to use it.
A miracle. Meanwhile, before we get to Stafford, Mario in town, if I'm not mistaken. His fantasy camp starts today. I guess there's a dinner tonight for all the campers. And again, that just underscores for me, Bob, this situation with Fenway Sports Group. Nothing feels right over there these days.
Especially the way the hockey team is playing. That doesn't feel right at all. And what they have to do moving forward. But yeah, Mario's fantasy camp is always well received. It's sold out. People come in from all over to be able to skate with him and all the guys he has
Did he go to either of the games?
I don't know that. You know, I also know that sometimes maybe you're not going to see him there because they don't want to show him there. I'm not sure if he was. Normally, he gets his guys together and they have fun in the box.
Right.
You know, and watch a game. So I'm not sure what happened there, if he did or didn't. But I know his camp is really good because I've been part of it a couple of times to watch how these guys react. It's almost like they're kids. They're very successful people, Joe, that come in. They have big-time jobs and careers.
Yeah.
Some of them are self-made millionaires, and they want to be part of this, and they fly in from all over to do it. I mean, all over the world.
Yeah, it's amazing. I just can't help but think of how apparently FSG has alienated the most important person in the history of the franchise. It's just...
Yeah, not a good thing to do.
It's a crying shame is what it is.
Yeah, it is, and it's it was totally unnecessary, I think, but...
All right.
Whatever it is, it is.
We'll talk about the actual hockey team and a bunch of things going on there as we approach the trade deadline in a little bit. But by far, the biggest story around here today is Albert Breer. Steelers have shown interest in quarterback Matthew Stafford, he reports. He says in his Monday morning quarterback column, the teams you'd suspect would have their hat in the ring have indeed thrown their hats in the ring. The New York Giants, Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, and LA or Las Vegas Raiders, and others have shown interest.
May I throw another team in there that I think would be a natural fit for them?
Yeah.
The Minnesota Vikings.
Because they would move on from Darnold and have him be a bridge to McCarthy?
Right, and it'd be shorter term, and McCarthy has to wait, so be it. But if you look at that team, of all the teams you just mentioned, which team is more in a position to win? They were, in the end, Darnold did not play some of his best football, but their offensive line didn't either. They got a really good defense, and Brian Flores is coming back to coach it again.
Yeah.
They have a very innovative coach. They have two of the best wide receivers in the game and a good running back. I think that's a good situation for him and them.
Well, what about Stafford? Here's the part that I don't understand. What exactly is the crux of the issue with the Rams? And I read from a lot of people, I think Pelissero is one, who still feel like he's going to go back there. That the fact that his agent said, yeah, let's gauge some interest around the league. Bob, what is the issue with the contract? They worked it out last year to him making basically $40 million on a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. He's only guaranteed $4 million this year. Is he looking for another one-year, $40 million type of situation, or does he want a multi-year deal with a bunch of guaranteed money? And if it's only 1-40, why wouldn't the Rams just pay that for one more year and use him as their bridge quarterback? Because people are talking about, you know, Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers going there. I guess they would come cheaper. I don't know. Kirk Cousins makes a lot of money, depending on what his situation is going to be. Like, what's the issue here? I know Cooper Kupp, they were a little bit miffed by that, I guess, Matthew Stafford and his wife. But is it realistic that he would come here? And what's he looking for?
Well, I don't know. And that's why I don't think ultimately he will come here. I think they may be interested. They should be interested in every scenario. They have a lot of things they need to change. And Omar Khan would be doing his due diligence to ask about all of it. But to me, again, it's a short-term fix for them. Still going to be focused on who is their next franchise quarterback. And if you're him looking at their team, you have to say, why would I come here in that division with what they got with Baltimore and Cincinnati specific, and knowing that the Steelers wide receiving core has to be totally revamped.
And this offense?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things I wouldn't be interested in. But if he's just looking for money, and I don't think he should be at this point, he's made a ton of money in his career. I would go for the best fit if I'm trying to win, and I think Minnesota would be it.
That's what I'm having a hard time figuring out here, is what the main issue is out in L.A. Is it about money? Matthew Stafford's wife talked about going somewhere where they respect us, I think. Is that what she said, Limits?
Yeah, and that was kind of one thing that she took away and also mentioned, like, their family situation. They would be completely fine, like, changing and up moving everything. It's different than when it was Detroit and it was a little bit more difficult. But they want to have that sense of respect from an organization, which I thought was puzzling.
So, okay, is it about respect and, like, a disagreement, or is it simply about money? Because every time there's that old saying, whenever they say it's not about money, it's about money, Bob. If I'm the Steelers, there's also a first-round pick involved.
Listen, no, I don't think so. I don't think he would get a first-round pick.
You don't?
No, I don't. I think a second-round pick, maybe a second and a third would be the way to go there. I think a first-round pick, I just look at the nature of all these trades that you see and some big names, especially older names. You're not going to get what you think you're going to get unless a team – you know, is really
okay. Then I don't think they're. I think this whole thing might be about that too. Is the Rams not even lying about this? They want to gauge interest.
Sure.
See, what are you willing? Like Stafford wants to know, what are you willing to pay me? The Rams want to know, what would you be willing to give up?
And it better be mutually compatible too. If it's not, then that trade won't get done.
Exactly. From everything I see and read and hear, they're looking for a first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Would either one of you guys trade a first round pick for Matthew Stafford?
No.
Me neither. If he was a free agent, would I pay him $40 million for a year?
Yeah,
absolutely.
The money is the money. No matter who your quarterback is, you're gonna have to pay whatever market says. That's fine. Giving up a first round pick for him at age 37, he still can play, don't get me wrong. And I am an admirer of his career because he did a lot of it in Detroit that many people didn't think he could do. He goes to L.A., does a great job there to win a Super Bowl. But, 37, we've just gone down this path with Russell Wilson. I'd rather go in a younger direction, and I also would rather free up my future so that if I determine that whoever it is this year is not good enough, then next year I can strike and maybe get a better option.
Limits, would you give a first-round pick for this guy?
No, I would not. I think that they need to invest in an offensive weapon or defensive lineman. I won't really be convinced of that. It needs to be an offensive weapon, but I would much rather have that pick than trade it for a 37-year-old quarterback where I don't think that if you put him into the system right now, they're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I think that's well said, Bob. Mm-hmm. I just don't know that he would flourish here. He absolutely can still play. We all saw that in the playoffs. He had them within a pass or two of beating the Eagles in Philly, in a snowstorm. I mean, he's still
but
good.
But again, you need weapons,
but he's,
too.
But he's good there.
Right.
With Sean McVay drawing up your schemes, and with Cooper Kupp and Nacua, he can't move much anymore.
That's why Minnesota has the same two. They have Justin Jefferson, and they have Jordan Addison.
Yeah.
So you have the same kind of thing he had in L.A., only younger and, I think, better at this point.
Yeah. Having said that, I'm not at all surprised that the Steelers are mentioned here. The topic is everywhere. If you look up behind you, Bob, on ESPN, why are Rams looking to move on from Matthew Stafford? Letting his agent talk to teams to gauge contract value.
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To me, that's what it's about. Matthew Stafford's been around forever. getting rid of Cooper Kupp, really? That's like a big sticking point where he wants to leave. This is about them wanting to move on because I'm not sure they want to meet his contract demands anymore. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that's pure and simple. They need to figure out a way, and they don't. They're going to let the market determine it. They're going to let teams determine what they, you know, if he's available, let's listen. And again, that's doing your due diligence. And I think Omar Khan knows that. He'll get involved just to find out. You should find out about everybody. And you never know. You might come up with a situation. I remember last year, I mean, not many people thought Russell Wilson and Justin Fields would be here. A lot of people were shooting that down right off the bat, and all of a sudden, both are here. Again, you wouldn't know that unless you went through it, played the game a little bit. He does it well. He knows money more than anybody. I mean, he's a capologist first and foremost. So
yeah,
he would figure out something that would make sense if they want to go in that direction.
I also think the Rams might be operating under the old adage, it's better to get rid of somebody a year too early than a year too late. And I think as good as he was at times last year, there's definitely been a decline. And, man, you could see it going down much faster from here at age 37. He just turned 37. On the other hand, Bob, who knows? Somebody like Brett Favre still has some good football left in him at this age. Tom Brady had some great football
left
in him.
Aaron Rodgers at age 37 was still very good. 37. He's 41 now, but you know what I mean? Go back 4 years.
Yeah. If it was just about the money, I would probably take a chance. Look at that throw, Bob, in the snow right down the sidelines. But he doesn't have the system. He doesn't have his top receiver here. If they keep Pickens, you can't depend on all of that. Could he stay upright behind this offensive line? I'd still take a chance if it was about the money. I ain't giving up a first-round pick for him.
No.
No way. Would you give up a second?
I would.
You would?
I would. If everything else made sense to me, I would.
That took a turn, limits. From a first to a second. Would you give up a second?
No. I still would not give up a second. A third, yes.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not endorsing this. I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying, if you're asking me, if they felt like he can come in and do it, a second-round pick, I can stomach that. Not a first.
But would you do it if you were running the ship? Would you trade a second-round pick for him?
No, because I'm telling you, I think that the dynamics are not right here right now. They need more help on their team. He would need more help as a quarterback. Their offensive line still, with switching tackles, bringing in Fatanu, who knows what we're going to see, hopefully good. Can Broderick Jones change moving over to his natural position? How about if he can't? They still have things there that if I'm a quarterback, I have to analyze it all.
Me too. Would you be surprised if the Steelers got him? I wouldn't be surprised.
Nothing surprises
by
me.
Anything.
No, but I would. I still think they're going to try to figure out a longer-term answer with a young quarterback through the draft. And in the meantime, stick with Justin Fields. That's just what I've been, my takes all along, and I'm not going to change it.
Jerry Dulac on his chat last week said he thinks the Steelers will sign one of their own QBs before free agency. He didn't say which one. Steve in Canton asked Jerry, of these QBs, which guy is most likely to be a Steeler in 25? Russ Wilson, Matt Stafford, Fields, Daniel Jones. Jerry said you can cross off two of them, and we know which one he meant. Or which two he meant, Stafford and Jones. He thinks it's going to be solved internally. But this isn't like official reporting from Jerry. If you just look at his chat, I mean, as recently as last year, he was asked flat out, do you see the Steelers trading for Fields? He said no. And he also intimated that they wouldn't go out and get Wilson.
That's what I mean. It changes. It's a fluid situation. Depending on what is available and how much it would take. They made a smart
right.
move in that they only took $1 million plus for Wilson, and they got a sixth-round pick for Fields. So that was, you know, why wouldn't you do that, knowing that they just decimated their quarterback room? So, but, you know, unless it comes back to them, they're not going to go out and overpay for it twice with a first-round pick and money. No, I don't see them doing that at all.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay.
Like, I guess I would bet slightly against it, but they seem to be so desperate just to get a playoff win. Just to get a playoff win, I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers did anything right now. If Aaron Rodgers walked through that door next week, my level of surprise, zero. Matthew Stafford, zero. Either one of those guys. And anybody else, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
Zero?
Zero.
Darnold wouldn't surprise you.
Zero. They brought in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and traded. Do you remember where they were when they traded? Where you were when they traded Pickett?
I do.
I was on the golf course and was convinced for an hour that it was still fake.
Yeah, I was looking for. I remember looking for fake. I said, "Uh-oh, here we go. Somebody's fake." You know, they're trying. I don't know what's right, what's wrong. I kept looking.
I think we forget how shocking the blow up of their quarterback room was and who they brought in. Why would Sam Darnold surprise you?
I was at a museum in Washington, D.C. covering the ACC tournament with Noah Hyles, Chris Carter, Jim Hammett, and others. And we just converged at one point and said, did you just see what I think we saw?
I thought you were going to say you were at a museum that was chronicling the Steelers' last playoff win
no.
from 1874.
Might need a museum for how long it's been.
Oh, my God. All right, Bob. So that's where we begin today. 412-928-9370. 928-9370 off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. We have so many treats today. I've forgotten what they are. Andrew Destin live from spring training. We have stories to talk about there for sure. Chris Carter is going to join us. We have stories to talk about with Pitt, especially with their two head coaches of their main programs right now. Our six pack brought to you by Bet365, Fan Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can talk to our friend and yours, City Limits, on the Fan text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, speaking of Jerry Dulac's chat, two more shots have been fired here. Were you aware of that?
No.
2 weeks ago, it was the whole Aditi Kinkabwala versus Dulac's reporting. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
And all hell was breaking loose, and somebody asked Jerry
who is,
about Aditi
who's that?
On his chat, and he said, "Who's that?" It's happened again. You ready for this one, Limits? Dustin sent in a question to Dulac's chat, and I quote, "Jerry, love your Steelers coverage and always look forward to this chat!" Exclamation point. What do you make of the brewing feud between Andrew Filippone and Mike DeFabo? Do you know what his answer was, Bob?
Who's he?
Who
are they?
With a question mark. That's it.
Wow.
What do we make of this, Limits?
Well, clearly I think Jerry knows who both of them are. Obviously, we'll get that out of the way.
He used to work with DeFabo.
Yeah. So is he hooing Pony, who he clearly has seen before?
He's clearly hooing both, Bob. This is like something out of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Dulac lives in Whoville.
I just think Cindy Lou Who. Cindy Lou Who. I think Jerry's just trying to say, I'm not interested in going here, so therefore I'm going to give you this answer. It's going to be the same every time there's a feud. Who? I don't know. Who's he? Who's she?
And ironically, he's setting up his own feuds, right? He's got more battles going on right now than anybody
I
know.
Are you one of these people? I don't get into that stuff.
I love
it. It's a waste of time.
No,
I mean, you yourself personally, have you gotten into them?
I think I was in maybe the all-time media, two of them. Two of the all-time Pittsburgh media feuds were me and Seibel doing the same show together.
Yeah, but that was before this kind of stuff, right? Social media?
Social media, true. Yeah, and then Dave Molinari in a pre.
Really?
A legendary. Yes, Bob. We didn't talk. Not a word was spoken.
Based on, refresh my memory here.
The church bells all were broken. You didn't get the reference to American Pie?
No, what are you talking about?
You said not a word was spoken.
Oh, nice.
The church bells all were broken. Oh, man. It's never good when you had
the
to explain.
Kaleidopes.
His voice sounded good there, Bob, didn't it?
Here to Sir Wickley.
Oh, no, man. I explained this last week. I still don't know what happened. We were semi-friendly on a talking basis. Did you see this guy make this half-court shot? Is that
A-Rod? That was Alex Rodriguez, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He cashed in for somebody, and then...
Look at this shot from half-court. Where is that? I don't know. Was
I forget
it an
where,
NBA?
But
it was an
NBA bank
game.
Shot, but still, he put it right on the money. He won money for a kid.
It was a Bucknell. A Bucknell student got $10,000 from
that. That is awesome.
And then A-Rod's agent got in and said, I owe
7%.
7%.
So, I don't know where it started, Bob. I don't know where it started. But it came from his side there. But
what was the topic that got you so, you know?
With Molinari?
Yeah. I don't.
There was no topic. It was one day I walked in, there was no more talking. None.
Ask the question. Dave, what's happening? Why can't we talk? Why?
Don't I did eventually.
No answer. Wow.
No answer. We had the same travel agent. I was telling Limits last week during the show. Same travel agent. And she would put us in seats on the plane right next to each other. Our knees were touching, not a word spoken.
Jeez.
It was incredible.
That's very awkward. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I like breaking ice. I don't like...
Would you be offended if someone referenced you in Dulac's chat and he said who? Or would you brush it off?
It wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff doesn't bother me.
No. I think I'm starting to grow that thicker skin that I need to.
You're going to have to.
Maybe a year ago I would have been a little offended.
It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, believe me. Yeah, I've gotten into some social media feuds, but I gave that up. The last one I got, was it Adam Goetz? Is that his name? Is it CBS? I don't know where. We got into it about Indiana football making the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. I get in a mood once or twice a year. Like usually, as I tell you, Bob, when you, not Adam, I like Adam's work, but when it's trolls out there, who just want to engage you.
I can see the passion and the steam coming from your ears when you read it on radio here, and I can see it.
Right.
Your eyes focus. Yeah.
I don't respond. Once or twice a year,
Austin,
I respond.
I have seen on the air whether it's a caller or someone on Twitter. He says, look at this guy, what he said to me. This is a Glenn and, the lower
Glenn and
Pearl.
Glenn Willard.
Yeah, whatever. screw you now. You just got to keep going back down that rabbit hole, don't you? I'm trying to make a point
Glenn
here, and you
Glenn
attack
Willard.
Me instead.
I agree with your point, too, Bob.
You've
You're 100%
right. Did you
right.
just attack Bob?
Yes, he just attacked me. But I'm going to brush it off because...
Did you mean it that way?
No, not
yes,
at all.
She did.
And now you think that I'm trying to
He's
make an
trolling
attack.
Me.
Like the trolls coming at you.
How do I get involved in this as the guilty guy?
Because
Bob
you
just
are.
Said you're trying
all right,
to attack him.
Stop. Stop.
What
question.
Happened?
You're on the witness stand, and I'm asking you the question.
My hand is raised.
You have seen it firsthand. Have you not, Joe Starkey, go mad over either a Twitter post or a caller?
Yes.
Multiple times, yes or no.
That's different than going back at the person. That's what stokes the feud.
You've gone back. I've seen you.
Very rarely. Sometimes with a caller, it's happened twice. Twice. See, and then you get people thinking that you go back at people all the time.
Yeah, and he really doesn't go back all the time.
No, I didn't say all the time.
Not even part of the time.
But he does go back once in a while.
Tony and that other jackass. Who was it? Who was it? Him, that guy, and then who was the other one? Adam from...
yeah, from... I can't remember, but that's when you thought that he was saying something...
He was. He was basically saying, what, you just arrived here? You're finally realizing the Steelers are a little bit dysfunctional? Now, that guy seemed like a nice guy. But,
yeah, he was a nice guy. No, I'm not saying you do it all the time. In fact, most of the time you don't. But there are times when it gets to you. And I try really hard not to let it because I have other things I don't want to bother me. The stress level with everything else is enough. I don't need more stress.
I know.
So you just ignore it.
I think the Warriors are a legit threat in the West, Bob. I've been watching them game in and game out.
Not so much. They may not even make the playoffs.
Oh, I'll bet you $1,000.
No, I'm not going to make that bet. I'm just telling
10,
you. Jimmy Butler will improve them.
He already
takes time.
Has.
But I'm going to tell you, I watched Denver and L.A. the other night.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've seen Luka have an impact.
Oh, my
and boy,
God. Yeah.
Not only him, but J.J. Redick, they had a defense for Nikola Jokic that I haven't seen work all year. They just surrounded him and let other people take shots. And if you want to make him, fine. You're hot. You can win. If not, you miss. Lakers were as good defensively, and I thought they're a bad defensive team. But in this particular game against a team that had won 9 in a row, they were really good.
That's too much analysis, Bob. Matthew Stafford, Steelers have interest. Do you at 412-928-9370? That's the first time we've seen reporting that they have inquired about Matthew Stafford. What would you give up? The Rams apparently want a first round pick. Would you try to talk them into a second rounder? Is it more about a contract than we think? Would you have to sign him beyond this year? I mean, that's the part I'm very unclear about. Would he play for 1 year and $40 million again? Listen, the bottom line is he can still play in L.A. I don't know that translates to Artie's offense with a malcontent at wide receiver and who else? And an offensive line that if you can't move, you're probably in trouble, at least on the flanks. I don't know that it translates here. 412-928-9370 hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Then we got a couple of other things on the table here. We have the Penguins, again, falling apart at the seams. You look at the standings, and it's almost shocking where they are right now. Where did they go from here? And then Andrew Heaney, what's up here with this trade? Is this setting them up to trade one of their other starting pitchers? What do we make of this deal that came down over the weekend? All of that ahead on Pomp and Joe. We want you to join us at the Fanniversary Wednesday night at the casino. Different ways to get tickets. Are there still different ways to get tickets limits? Or
yes.
Are we sold out right now?
Well, and you could also go to Baseball Car Castle in Cranberry and be able to pick them up there as well with the General.
It's going to be a treat. I can tell you that. I'm planning a couple of things. Did I tell you that?
You did, and I'm very excited with the one thing that you told me that you're planning.
Yeah,
I think it would be
too.
A very
I heard that. I think it would be
perhaps
wonderful.
An Adam Sandler-style song on the history of the fan, Bob. You would be in that. The time that you called Ron stupid might be referenced in there.
You're such a jag-off. You know, you really are.